Morning. Let's begin. So our learning this morning is sponsored by Jeremy and Chaya Diamond in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Jeremy's father, Avram Tzvi, Ben Pesach Hillel, and by Abe Zeltzer for a complete and permanent refuah for Yitzchak Meir Ben Sivya. And we dedicate our learning Le'ilui Nishmas Freida Basra Moshe Yosef. We hope that all of the Nishamas have an aliyah. I suppose that let's begin. A lot to do today. So we left off. Today's daf is Kuf Chaf Beis. We've made it to the end. Well, almost. We haven't made it yet. But we are making it towards the end of Meretz Hashem of a beautiful journey. So we're going to pick up on the bottom of Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. So the Gemara says three lines up from the bottom. Hahu Oveit Kol Chavim Dehava Ka'amar Le Yisrael. Kital aspasta vishade lichiyue b'shabsa v'ilo katlina lecha kide katlina leploni baris. Well, let me translate. There was an Ovid Kochavim who said to a particular Jew, kital aspasta. Aspasta is like young, immature grain. So cut down grain on Shabbos and feed it to my animals on Shabbos. And if you don't, obviously what he's telling him is you have to be mechalal Shabbos. And if you don't, go ahead. And if you're not Mechal Shabbos, I will kill you as I killed Ploni. Kedekatlina leploni bar Yisrael. Do amrili boshil kedera b'Shabbos v'lo boshili. Because I commanded him to cook for me something on Shabbos, and he did not cook for me. Ukatli say, and I killed him. Okay, so what does this have to do with anything? Shama devisu v'asoy lekamei dabai. So the wife of this man. Now, which man are we referring to? The wife of the man whom the non-Jew claimed to have killed because he did not cook for him on Shabbos. So the wife of this man, she doesn't know, she hasn't heard from her husband in a while. She hears this. So v'asoy lekamei dabai. And she came before Abai, essentially asking Abai, you know, what's my status? Am I permitted to remarry? So shahisa, top of Kuf Chav based, Shahisa Tlasa Rigli. So Abaye did not pass it on the Shaila immediately. He waited three regalim. Now, we'll say, now whether it means he literally waited three regalim or he waited until the regal, the idea over here is that he waited. Why the regal? Because the regal is a time where all the Jews get together. So he wanted other rabbinic opinions to weigh in on this. He did not want to paskin on this on his own. So when the rabbis were assembled, Amali Rav Ada Bar Ava, Zila Kamed Rav Yosef. So Rav Ada Bar Ava suggested to Abaye that he go before Rav Yosef to Charif Sakina, because Rav Yosef is a sharp knife, meaning Rav Yosef will tell you what the halacha is. So Abaye went before Rav Yosef, Pashat Mehamas Nisin, and Rav Yosef paskin on this case based on the following Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Ovid Kochavim Shaya Mocher Peros Beshok. If a non-Jew was selling fruit in the marketplace, and look what the non-Jew claimed. He says, Va'omer, Peros Halalu Shel Orlehin. He says, I'm giving you a great deal on Orla fruit. Or shall azekahin? So we'll say azekah. Rashi has two different interpretations. The first Rashi shall azekah says me pardes muuzak vegeder saviv lo shomro vishnas shvius. That is coming from a guarded vineyard or a guarded orchard. Or in the second Rashi where it says im lo amar klum. Rashi says kimedumali dahai azekah shem ha'ir shebe eretz yisrael uperos mishubachim v'mhaya ovi kocham zebuchus arz mishabcham v'omar azekah. So the simple Pesha Rashi says is azekah is a city in Eretz Yisrael. So the non-Jew is selling this fruit outside of Eretz Yisrael. And essentially he's claiming that they are Eretz Yisrael fruit. Or shall nata revayin, or Rabosai, their fourth year fruit. Remember, nata revay, which means essentially the fourth year fruit of the vine, or the fourth year fruit of certain trees, ultimately, again, can be consumed. However, again, halach l'maisa must be consumed in Yerushalayim. So let's say first 3 years are Orla, fourth year must be consumed in Yerushalayim. So Rabosai, so here you have the non-Jew saying, listen, I've got a great deal on Orla fruit, on fruit from Eretz Yisrael, or he's a chutz la'aretz, or are not the revive fruit. So in all of these cases, the Mishnah paskins, lo amar klum. We don't lend any credence to his words. Why? Lo niskavin el hashbiach mekho. Because they will say, why is he saying these things? The non-Jew doesn't know from Arla. The non-Jew doesn't know which is Eretz Yisrael fruit, which is not Eretz Yisrael fruit. The non-Jew doesn't know from not the revai. So we'll say, so what is he doing? He's figuring if he makes his produce look from, right, then the Jews will be a little bit more enticed to buy it. But he's saying things in order to go ahead and make his wares, distinguish his wares from the other merchants. But halachically, we do not believe that he knows what he's referring to. So we'll say, so here you have Rav Yosef coming along and quoting this and saying essentially the same idea over here, that we do not believe this non-Jew to say that Lamaise, he killed the first Jew who did not go ahead and cook for him on Shabbos. We assume the only reason he's saying this is why? To put the fear of God into the Jew who's in front of him now, to get him to cut down the aspasta. So I will say, so since Rav Yosef told Abaye, we do not believe the claim of the Akum. Okay, next case. Abba Yudon, Ish Tzaydon, Amr Ma'aseh B'Yisrael Ha'Oved Kochavim. There was once a story with the Yisrael Ha'Oved Kochavim, Shaholchu Baderech, who were walking on the way, Uba Oved Kochavim, and another non-Jew came along and said, Uba Oved Kochavim, not another non-Jew. The non-Jew came along, the non-Jew reached the destination, Va'amar, and he said, Chaval Al Yehudi Shahaya Imi Baderech. Ah, I feel so terrible for that Jew who was traveling with me, because he died on the way, and I buried him. So, mostly, here you have the non-Jew giving testimony that what? That Lemaisa, his Jewish travel companion, died and was buried. So, what's the halacha? The siu ishto. They allowed the deceased Jew's wife to go ahead and remarry. Now, I will say, this fits into what we learned yesterday of the concept of Masiach Lefitumo, that when the non-Jew gives us information without being prodded or without the intention for giving particular testimony, he is believed. So here is a case of where he's offering up information of his own volition, and therefore he is believed. Well, so there's also another Migo with this. Migo means that sometimes if a person could have said A, which is an easier claim to get away with, but instead says B, the individual is believed. So for example, in this case, the Akum could have said what? The Akum could have said, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know. You know, he stopped off at the rest stop, and I guess he liked the restaurants or whatever it is, and I never saw him again. So the fact that he goes and he offers this information of his own volition, the halacha is that we believe him. Next. There was another episode of a group of people, Kolar. There was like Kolar, Rashi says over here, means Chabura. Now, Kolar also means, sometimes mean throughout Shas, a group of people being led in captivity. In any event, there was a group of people, Ma'aseh b'kolosho b'nei Adam, Shahayu mahalchin l'antochia, they're walking to Antochia, Uba ovid kochavim v'amar, and a non-Jew came to us and told us, Chaval al kolar shol b'nei Adam, I feel so terrible for that group of people who were traveling, Shamesu, they all died, ukvartim, and I buried them. And the halacha was, v'esiu es nishosehem. So the rabbis allowed their wives to get remarried based on this testimony. V'shuv ma'aseh b'shishim b'nei Adam, shema halchum l'karkum beitar. There was another story with a group of 60 Jews who were walking towards the siege. Karkum is a siege. The siege of Beitar. The siege of Beitar also is referring over here to the siege of Beitar during the days of Bar Kochva. Uba Ovid Kochavim Va'amar Chava Al Shishim Bnei Adam Shem Halchen Baderech Beitar Shemesu Ukvartim. Feel so terrible for the group of 60 people who were traveling on the road to Beitar because they died. They all died, and I buried them. And the halacha was V'esiu Es Nishosehem. They allowed the wives to get remarried. So Rabbi said Lemaisa, what the Gemara seems just reinforcing the point from yesterday's daf, that if the non-Jew is Masiach Lefitumo, he comes and he gives us this information not with the intention to give eidos and not with the intention to allow the women to remarry, but just clearly for the point of giving us information, halacha lemaisa, the non-Jew is believed. Says the Mishnah. We'll say another interesting case. Mi'idin la'ar haner u la'ar halavana. This is talking about if, God forbid, a person needs to identify a corpse. So you could identify a corpse by candlelight or by moonlight. The Rabbi will say, now the chap of that, of course, is that neither of which is what? As strong as daylight, sunlight. Yet nevertheless, the Rabbi will say, can you understand, the common denominator in all of these halachos is one. There's one overarching principle that's driving all of this, and that is Mishum Iguna Akilu Ba Rabbanan. That because each of these situations border on significant aguna possibilities, therefore the Maisa, we are makel. We relax the standards in ways that we don't relax them in other areas of halacha. So you could go ahead and you could testify or identify the body by candlelight or by moonlight, umasin api baskol, and we allow a woman to go ahead and get remarried based on the testimony of a baskol. Now, I will say, baskol over here doesn't mean like baskol, like what you're thinking. Baskal normally means like a voice from Shamayim. Here, Baskal, if you look at Rashi, Api Baskal, Shamu Koltso Ekes Ploni Meis Velo Ro Adam Tzamo. Let's say you heard a voice giving testimony. You know, Ruvain died, but I never actually saw a person. That's what they call a Baskal. You could allow a woman to get remarried based on that. Ma'ase Be'echad Shamu La Rosh Ha'ar. There was an episode of a person who once was standing on top of the mountain. Va'amar. Ish ploni ben ploni mimakom ploni meis. So-and-so, right? So-and-so, the son of so-and-so from so-and-so place, died. Holchu v'lo masu sham adam. So they went to the mountaintop to see who was yelling this, and they couldn't find anyone there. V'hesiu es ishto, but yet they allowed his wife to remarry. V'shuv ma'ase b'tzalmon. B'tzalmon echad sh'amar, and that happened again. It happened again, right? In Salmon, that's the place. Be'echad she'amar, ani ish ploni ben ploni, nashchani nachash va'ani meis. So a man cried out, I am so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. I've been bitten by a snake, and I'm going to die. So we'll say, so why would he call this out? Because he wanted his death to be known, so his wife wouldn't be an aguna. So this is interesting. Halchu v'lo hikiruhu. So what happened? So they went to identify who it was, but they could not go ahead and identify the body. It must have been that the snake bite or something somehow disfigured the body. They were unable to make a positive physical ID. V'halchu v'esiu es ishto. And they went and they remarried. They married off his wife. Okay, so we'll say, see, kam dinam nira mishumi guna kida barabana. Amra Rabbi Shmuel, Tana. We'll say, so Rabbi Bar Shmuel taught the following idea. Tana, we learned, Beishamai omrim ein masina pi baskol. Beishamai says that you may not allow a woman to remarry based on a baskol, meaning based on a voice that you hear without knowing who said those words. Ubeisilom, Beisilom says, no, masin api baskol, not true. You could allow women to remarry based on a baskol. My kamash molan mas nisini. I don't understand why do you have to repeat this? We just learned this in the Mishnah. I'll tell you why. Hakamash balon di mishtachach stama dein masin beishamai. I'll tell you why. Because if you find a stam Mishnah that says that you may not marry off, or you may not allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of a baskol, understand that that is reflective of the opinion of Beis Shammai. V'holchu v'lo matzu. So also remember again, the Mishnah said that they had the situation where they heard the voice coming from the mountain, and it said, again, I'm so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. Or, excuse me, they said, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so died, right? And they went to look to find the person who said these words, and they could not find him, but yet they allowed the woman to remarry. So Gemara says, I don't understand, but Dilma Shade Tava, maybe it was a shade, right? Maybe it was a demon. I will say, you know, we're not going to get into this now. We'll see this actually in Gittin. There's a beautiful Chidush HaGolos from the Maharal in Maseches Gittin that discusses all about Shadim and whether or not there are Shadim, there are not Shadim, are they metaphorical? For our purposes, let's assume that a Shade is some type of demon, whatever that means. So the Gemara says, maybe there was a Shade who said it. The Shadim like to mess with people sometimes. So maybe it was the shade. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Shera'u lo demus adam. No, because even though when they got to the actual mountaintop, they couldn't find the person, but in the distance they saw a human form. So that indicates that it was a person. Aye, but inhu nami damu. But one second, but shadim could also assume physical form, human forms. The chazulei bavua. No, because the physical form casts a shadow. And apparently, again, shadim don't have shadows. The Gemara says, not true. The inhu nami isluhu bavua. But that's not true. Shadim also have shadows. The chazulei bavua de bavua. They saw the shadow of a shadow. I will say, and Rashi says over here, bavua de bavua. Celsius, I will say, you know what this is referring to? If you ever look, when the sun is up, so if you notice, a person actually casts two shadows, right? There's one darker, smaller shadow, and there is one larger, lighter shadow. So apparently, again, Shadim cast a shadow, but Shadim don't cast the shadow of a shadow. All right. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar li Yonasan Shida. So Rabbi Chanina said, Yonasan, the shade, said to me. So of course, I mean, what else is a shade going to be named, you know, than Yonasan? Right? No, that wasn't a personal. That wasn't a personal. I'm just saying, like, it's a good Yiddish nomen. You know, it's a good Jewish name. So what happened? So Yonasan the shade said to me, Nebosai, it's actually interesting, the Marsha points out, he says that Yonasan shade could either be one of two things. Either it means that literally the shade's name was Yonasan, That's possible. Or what it means is there was a man named Yonasan who was an expert in the realm of Shadim. Okay, either one. I think elsewhere it's assumed that Yonasan Shida literally means Yonasan, the shade. Here I know where the Marasha comments that. In any event, Amr the Yonasan Shida, Yonasan the shade said to me, Bevoa Islay, Shadim have a shadow. However, Bevoa de Bevoa leslahu. But Shadim do not cast the shadow of a shadow. Fine, so therefore we've eliminated the fact it's not a shade. Good. What is the other possibility? V'dilma tsarahavi. This is interesting. Maybe it was a co-wife. Right? Maybe it was a co-wife. Meaning also, forget about a shade. You know, we're actually working up in levels of severity. Right? So forget about a shade. Maybe it was a co-wife who wanted to really give it to her co-wife. So what does she do? She goes up on the mountaintop. She yells out, you know, Ploni ben Ploni. Our husband is dead. Husband's not really dead. The tsara just wants the first wife to go ahead and get remarried. Because then when the husband shows back up, what's going to happen? She's going to be asura to her first husband. So maybe it's the tsara. Taran bi Rabbi Shmuel. B'shas ha-sakana kosu v'nosin afapi shein makirin. So we'll say, interesting enough, the Gemara says, quoting the opinion of the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, that in a time of sakana, we go ahead and we write and we give the get, even though we don't recognize who the husband is. And we'll say, now what is this referring to? If you look at Rashi, b'shas ha-sakana, Rashi says, she adam mesukan, person is in danger, kigon, mishay mushlach babar, someone was thrown into a pit, v'amar kol shomea kolo yichtov get le'ishto, and he cries out, whoever hears my voice, please write a get for my wife. So what's the halacha? Kosvin v'nosnin. We go ahead and we write the get and we give the get to the woman. V'samchinon alei b'chol dvarav sh'amar anihu ploni ben ploni. And we rely on the fact that the guy in the pit, even though we can't see him, is whom he claims to be. So what you see from there is, in a shas sakana, in a time of danger, we relax the standards a little bit. And even though normally we would not issue a get without knowing explicitly who the husband is and who the wife is, if the husband says, listen, I'm going to die in here, I'm not getting out of here, we would, and he says, please write a get for my wife, we would write the get under those circumstances, even though we don't know who the husband is. So Rashi points out, v'hachanami, the case of the Mishnah is also a situation of, kishas ha-sakana damya, shimlotamin lazelov timsa achar v'teshev aguna. Because essentially the issue over here is, if we do not believe this baskol, what's the concern? What's the concern? The concern is that this woman will remain in aguna. So essentially, again, allowing the woman to remain like an aguna essentially is like a shas sakana. It's a time of incredible personal danger for her, and therefore we believe the baskol. Says the Mishnah, I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Kishi arati l'narda la'abar ashana, when I once went down to Narda in Bavel to go ahead and declare a leap year, Matzasi Nechemia, whereas we actually quoted this Mishnah earlier, Matzasi Nechemia Isha Beis Deli. I found Nechemia, and I also just, you should know, in the previous sugya, that's how we paskin like Beis Hillel, that we would allow a woman to remarry based on a bas kol. So if we hear the voice, even if we can't identify whom it came from, we don't assume it's a shade, we don't assume it's a tzara, we allow it to remarry. But also, again, it's not really such a chiddush, because essentially what you're seeing is, pretty much all we need is some level of very basic test when the husband has died, and then we allow her to remarry. Because again, remember, when we say we allow her to remarry, that's much simpler than it sounds. What it means is, we give her the right to remarry, assuming that she is going to launch her own investigation to establish the veracity of the claim that her husband is dead. Because if she just gets remarried and does not establish the veracity of that claim, she runs the risk, ultimately, if her husband comes back, of being labeled an adulteress, and any children from a second marriage being labeled as mamzer. So the stakes are quite high. That's why we assume she does her due diligence. So Rabbi Akiva says, "Kishiradti l'nardo ala aber shana matzasi nechemia ish beisteli." I found nechemia, and Amrali, and he said to me, "This is nechemia saying to Rabbi Akiva." Shamati shemasina se isha beretz yisrael api eidechot. I heard that in Eretz Yisrael they do not allow women to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. Ella Yehuda ben Bava, the only person who allows women to get remarried based on the testimony of one witness, is Yehuda ben Bava. Vinomisilo, and Rabbi Akiva said, yes, I nodded my head to him. Kein hadvarim, you are correct. The only one in Eretz Yisrael who allows a woman to get remarried based on the testimony of one witness is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Amarli, Nechemia said to me, Emar lohem, tell them, meaning tell the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, in my name, Mishmi, Atem yodim shamadina mishubashas begayosos. Well, so remember we had this before? So Nechemia says, listen, I would come and tell the Eretz Yisrael rabbis all of this information myself, except it's dangerous here to travel, right? I can't get out of Narda, but give the following testimony from me. Mikublanim Rabbi Gamliel Azakein. I have a mesora from the older Rabbi Gamliel. Shemasiyin esaisha api edechod, that you are permitted to allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. This is the mesora I have from Rabbi Gamliel the elder. Remember, Rabbi Gamliel the elder is the grandson of Hillel. So if that is the mesora that he gave, that's an authoritative mesora. Ukishabasi, Rabbi Akiva says, when I went back to Eretz Yisrael, Virtsi had dvarim lefnei Rabbi Gamliel, and I gave over these words in front of Rabbi Gamliel. And they're both say, the Rabbi Gamliel referred, there are two Rabbi Gamliels. There's Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin and just Stam Rabbi Gamliel. So it's grandfather, grandson. Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin is the grandfather, and Stam Rabbi Gamliel, Stam Rabbi Gamliel is the grandson. So now Rabbi Akiva comes back to Eretz Yisrael. He tells Rabbi Gamliel, the grandson, that which he heard in the name of the Zeda, namely, that you can go ahead and allow him to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. Samach lidvarai, and Rabbi Gamliel, the grandson, was so happy. V'amar matzanu chavar Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. We have found a good friend, the chavrusa, for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, meaning that we found someone else now who passed gains that you could allow him to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. And as we were talking, Rabbi Gamliel remembered a matter that had come across his desk just a short while earlier. What happened? Harugim betel Arza. There was a group of men who were killed in Tel Arza. Tel Arza is a place. And their wives were agonos. Now, based on what Rabbi Gamliel just heard in the name of his grandfather, the Hissi Rabbi Gamliel Neshosein Api Eidachad. I will say the reason they were agonos is because there was only one witness who was testifying about the death of their husbands, not two, therefore they were agonos. But once Rabbi Gamliel heard that, in fact, one witness could be believed to testify about the death of a husband, he allowed these women to remarry. And as a result of believing in Eid Echad, they began to rely on other people as well for Eidos about the death of a husband, namely, Masin Eid Mipi Eid. Even if you have one witness who's giving over testimony from the mouth of another witness, meaning both sides, witness number one sees that the husband died, he tells witness number two never saw it, but witness number two is just giving over that which you heard from witness number one, or testimony from an Eved, or Mipi Isha, or testimony from a woman, Mipi Shivcha, testimony from a maidservant. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua say, no, not true. Ein Masin Esa Isha, Api Eidechad. Ein Masin Esa Isha, Api Eidechad. So what's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua still disagree, and they say, despite the testimony of Rabbi Gamliel Azokain, we still hold that you cannot allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. Rabbi Kiva says, La Api Isha, V'lo Api Eved, V'lo Api Shivcha, V'lo Api Krovim. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you could allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of an Eid Echad, but Eid Echad has to be a kosher Eid. So it can't be a woman, it can't be an Eved, it can't be a Shivcha, and it can't be relatives. So I will say, essentially, we have a three-way machlokes about what type of Eidos to believe. So the first opinion in the Mishnah of what we'll call Huchsaku says that Lamaisa, once we believed in Eid Echad, they began to believe everyone. A woman, a shivcha, a karov, an eved. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua say, no, you still can't rely on Eid Echad. And Rabbi Kiva seems to take a compromise position. You can rely on Eid Echad, but that Eid Echad has to be a kosher witness. But you can't rely on Eid Echad who is a woman, or an Eid Echad who is a shivcha, an eved, or a relative. Says the Gemara of Asav, Rabbi Akiva, fellow Api Isha. Is that true that Rabbi Akiva holds that you cannot rely on a woman for testimony about the death of the husband of a man? Vatanya, we learned Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omrish Rabbi Akiva Isha Ne'eman Es Lahavi Gita Mikavachomer. A woman is believed to bring her own get based on the Kavachomer. I will say what this is referring to. We'll get to this in Gittin Mirat Hashem, but we will see if you bring a get from Chutz La'aretz. So the person who brings the get has to say Befanai Nechtav Ubefanai Nechtam. Literally, this get was written, and this get was signed in front of me. In other words, that they are attesting to the lishma nature of the get. A woman is believed to bring her own get and make that same testimony. And it's a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? If when it comes to the women who are not believed to say that a husband died, Rabbi say that refers to the five women that we spoke about last week. The five women like the mother-in-law and the sister-in-law and the stepdaughter who are not believed to say that a man died, are believed yet to go ahead and bring the get and testify to the lishma nature of the get. Certainly this one who is believed to say that her husband died, it goes without saying that she is believed to testify about the lishma nature of her get, to which the Gemara says, so what do you see from here? That it's only the women who Chazal said are not believed, who are not believed, those five women, but Stama woman is believed to give testimony about the death of a man. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Lokash is not a contradiction. There was an evolution in the halacha. In the beginning, a woman was not believed to give this testimony about the death of a man. And that's when Rabbi Akiva was quoted over here. But then as we saw in the Mishnah, the halacha evolved. And even Rabbi Akiva came on board to accept the testimony of a woman to testify about the death of a man. And Rabbi said that indeed is halacha l'maisa, that we do accept not only an eid echad to testify about the death of a man, but we accept the eidus of an isha, an eidus of a woman to testify about the death either of her husband or of someone else's husband. Says, of course, again, with the exception of the five women we learned about last week. Says the Mishnah, Amrulo. They said to him, there was an episode of a group of Levim. Now we'll say, now they said to Rabbi Akiva. So there was an episode of the group of Levim. They went to the city of Tsoar, the city of date palms. And one of the men became sick, one of the Levim became sick. And apparently they were traveling somewhere. So what they did is they checked into an inn and they left their sick friend in the inn. They said, you know, you stay here, you rest up, we'll fetch you, we'll get you on the way back home. Okay. So on the way back, they come into the inn and their friend's not there. So they say to the pundikis, they say to the innkeeper, right, where is our friend? Where is our friend? So no mislahem, she motioned to them, she said to them, Mace, he died, ukvartiv, and I buried him. And as a result, v'hisiu es ishto, and they allowed his wife to remarry. Okay, so the Gemara says velo tehe kohenes kipundakis. So it says literally the expression is should a kohenes not be as believable as a pundakis? In other words, that if we're believing the pundakis, then what? Then we should believe any woman to go ahead and testify that a man died. Amar lehu lechishtehe kipundakis ne'emenes. Excuse me, lechishtehe pundakis. When the kohenes is like the pundakis, we'll believe the kohenes. So we'll see what this means in the Gemara. Ne'emenes apundakis. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the pundakis took out for them this guy, this Levi, his staff, his cloak, his Sefer Torah that he was carrying with him. Okay, so we will go ahead and analyze this in the Gemara. Amud Beis, we'll say, my agree usa de pundakis. So we'll say, so, you know, it's interesting because the Mishnah said, you know, if we're going to believe the pundakis, we certainly could believe someone else. So, like, what's so bad about the pundakis? Like, why would you not believe the pundakis? I would have kahana pundakis over this kochalim ha'isa. I'll tell you why. Because it was a Gentile pundakis, but umasiach lefi tuma. But Rabbi says, so one second, how can you believe a non-Jewish pundakis? To which the Gemara answers, because she was masiach lefi tuma. Remember, masiach lefi tuma means what? She spoke, she gave this information of her own volition, right, without being prodded. So the Gemara says, Rabbi says, remember, in general, when somebody offers information without being prodded, without being asked, so the assumption is that lemaisa, there's a certain credibility to those words. So the Gemara says, "Umasiach lefi tuma, umasiach lefi tuma haisa, zemaklo v'zetamilo v'zekeres shekivartiv." Because what does she say? She when this group of men came back, she said to them without being prodded, "Here is his staff, here is his cloak, and here is the place where I buried him." V'chein tana abba breid rabbi yomi barchiya. Pundakis ovedas kochavim haisa umasiach lefi tuma haisa. So to again. Abba Breidra Minyumi Barchia also said the same idea. She was a Gentile Pundakis, but she offered this information of her own volition, and that is why she is believed. This is his staff, this is his cloak, this is his kever that I buried him. So the one said, well, say, what do you mean that she offered this of her own volition? Vaha aye chavareinu ka'amarla. But it's not true. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah say that the Levium came back and they said, Where's our friend? Right? Where is he? So she didn't offer it of her own volition. She was asked. To which the Gemara says, no. Kevan dechazesinhu bachya. When she saw the group of Levim coming back, she began to cry. Then they said to her, Amrula ayechaverenu, where is our friend? Amra lahem, she said to them, Meis ukevartiv, he died, and I buried him. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi says, Hava bachya, it's the first line on top, in the left-hand side of Rashi, Hava bachya, uvahainu lefituma. So Rashi says over here, because she began to cry before they said anything, that's like her beginning to offer the information that he died even before they asked. And therefore, again, it's considered to be as if she offered the information up voluntarily. There was once, and this is actually another interesting case, of a man who came to testify about a particular woman. He came to testify about a particular woman in front of Rabbi Tarfon. So, again, when he says testify about a woman, he's saying he's testifying about the husband died, and therefore the woman is permitted to get remarried. Amar lo b'ni. So, Rabbi Tarfon said, tell me, my son, heich ato yodea be'edos isha zu. How do you know about what happened to this woman's husband? So, listen to this. So, the man said, Amar, anivu hu hayinu holchim baderach. I was traveling with this woman's husband. V'radav acharinu gayis. And we were attacked by a group of armed bandits. Vinitla beyichor shalzayis, and this man, the husband of this woman, he tore off an olive branch. Upashchu vehechzir esagayis. Right, the irony is not lost. Right, he's fighting the group of people with an olive branch. Right, so interesting conflicting metaphors there. So he's going in and he's fighting off the group of bandits with an olive branch. Vehechzir esagayis acharav, and indeed he actually went ahead and he repelled the group of bandits. Let's listen to this. Amarti lo. So I said to this man, Arye, yasher koach. So the travel companion, the one who's giving testimony now, did not actually know the name of his fellow travel companion, the husband of this woman, the man about whom he's testifying. He called him Arye, why? Like he called him a lion. Wow, you're like an Arye. So Amar li, so the man said to me, Minayin ata yodea sha'arye shmi. How do you know that my name is Aryeh? Meaning, how did you know? Kach Korin Osi Be'iri. This is what they call me in my town. Yochanan ben Yehona son Aryeh de Mikfar Shechya. Right? They call me Yochanan, the son of Yonasan, the lion, from Kfar Shechya. I'm from Kfar Shechya. So what happened? L'yamim Chala. So then, again, remember, this is the man giving testimony. The man giving testimony continues his story. A couple of days later, he became sick. Umes, and he died. So we'll say, so this is the testimony that the travel companion is giving. So because of the conflict that arose, he learned the man's name. He says, here's the man's name. I'm telling you that he got sick and he died. Vehesi Rabbi Tarfon Asishto. And Rabbi Tarfon allowed this man, the Arye, we'll call him Arye's wife, to go ahead and get remarried. So the one says, Rabbi Tarfon Labaya Drisha Vechakira. Does Rabbi Tarfon not need any type of Drisha Vechakira? So we'll say, Drisha Vechakira means Rashi says, Bedikos, ki agam lo chavenes tvarav, meaning, does he not need like some type of cross-examination, something, just to go ahead and check out the guy's words to make sure that they're legitimate? Vatanya, we learned, Ma'aseh ba'adam echad shabalif ne Rabbi Tarfon. There was once an episode of a man who came before Rabbi Tarfon, Lahaid Eidos Isha, and he came to testify. He came to testify about a particular woman. Excuse me, Lahaid Eidos Isha, he came to testify that the husband had died. Amar lo b'ni, heich ata yodei edezu. So there's another story. So there was a man who came before Rabbi Tarfon to testify that a particular woman's husband had died. Okay. So Rabbi Tarfon says to the man, heich ata yodei edezu, tell me, how do you know that this man died? So the man giving testimony said, Amar lo, anivuhu hayinu holchim badarach. I was traveling with this man. V'radav acharinu gayis, and we were attacked by a group of bandits. V'nitla b'yichar te'inar. So in this case, it's a fig tree. And the man tore off. A fig branch, upashchu vehechzir es hagayis, and he fought back the bandits. Amarti lo, and I said to him, Yasher kochacha Aryeh, shkoyach Aryeh, Amarli yafe kivanti lishmi. And the man who just repelled the bandit, said, wow, shkoyach, you were just machaving to my name. Because why do they call me? Shekach korin oso bi'iri, Yochanan ben Yonasan Aryeh. Right? Dimikfar Shichya. They call me Yochanan ben Yonasan Aryeh from Kfar Shichya. And then the man goes on with his testimony. L'yamim chala, and a couple of days later, Aryeh got sick. Umes, and he died. So listen to this. Amar lo, Rabbi Tarfon said, lo kach amarta Yochanan ben Yonasan de Mikfar Shichya Aryeh. Let me just get this straight. Did you say his name was Yochanan ben Yonasan of Kfar Shichya Aryeh? Then I will say, now remember, the order over here is very important. In the original testimony, the man claimed that the way the deceased was known was Yochanan ben Yonasan Aryeh de Mikfar Shichya. Right? That's how he was known. Yochanan, the son of Yonasan, the lion from Kfar Shichya. Rabbi Tarfon is trying to mix him up a little bit to see if he's going to stick to his story. So Rabbi Tarfon says, oh, let me just get it to you. So his name was Yochanan ben Yonasan of Kfar Shichya, the lion. So he switched the order of Kfar Shichya and the lion. Amarle, no, Rabbi, that's not what I said. Elakach amarti lecha, Yochanan ben Yonasan Aryeh de Mikfar Shichya. See, no, Rabbi, that's not what I said. His name was Yochanan, the son of Yonasan, the lion of Kfar Shichya. V'diktek alav shnayim u'shlosha pamim. And what happens? Rabbi Tarfon kind of went back. Oh, so you mean it's Yonasan ben Yochanan Rabbi? It's Yochanan ben Yonasan. So he kept going over this over and over to see if he would stick to the same facts of his story. V'chivin estavar. I'm sure enough, the man stuck to the facts of his story. V'hesi Rabbi Tarfon es ishto. And Rabbi Tarfon went ahead and allowed the woman to remarry based on his testimony. So we'll say, so now we have conflicting sources. Because according to this Braisa over here, so Rabbi Tarfon did require Jushuv HaKira. He did require a kind of like a cross-examination of the witnesses. But yet, according to the previous account, he did not require a cross-examination. So which one is it? Which the Gemara answers, Tanaihi. In reality, it's a machlokis tanoim. Disanyo, because we learned, ein bodkin edei noshem b'jisha v'chakira. Rabbi said, and witnesses come along and testify that a man died in order to allow him to remarry. We do not check, we do not examine, we do not subject those witnesses to a jisha v'chakira, to cross-examination. Div Rabbi Akiva. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon Omer bodkin. Rabbi Akiva says, no, excuse me, Rabbi Tarfon says, no, we even go ahead and subject those witnesses to a jisha v'chakira, to cross-examination. The kamiflegi b'Rabbi Chanina. And the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon is really comes down to a statement of Rabbi Chanina. Because Rabbi Chanina says, Rabbi Chanina, Dvar Torah, mid da'oraisa, echa dine mamanes, ve'echa dine nefashos, b'drisha ve'chakira, really mid da'oraisa, both witnesses who are attesting to monetary law, and witnesses who are coming to testify, or I should say monetary cases, or in capital cases, require jishuv hachakira, require cross-examination. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, mishpat echad yihye lochem, because the Torah says you shall have one mishpat, one sense of justice, and therefore Rabbi Moshe, that teaches us, just like by capital cases, you have to go in and cross-examine the witnesses, so too by financial cases, you'll also cross-examine the witnesses. Umatam amru dine mamanes in tzrichin jishuv v'chakira. So why is it that in financial cases, right, in monetary cases, we do not do jishuv v'chakira in front of the witnesses? Shalotino delas bifnei lavin. In order not to close the door in front of lenders. So Rabbi, this is very important. What the Gemara is saying over here is the following. If I know that I lend Reuven money, and I know that if for some reason there's a machlokes, we're going to have to go to Beis Din, and it's not going to be enough for me to go ahead and produce witnesses, but my witness is going to be cross-examined. Now, Bosei, I want to tell you, if you think about that cross-examination that Rabbi Tarfon subjected that particular aid to, I would have messed up on that, because it's so easy. Yochanan, Yonasan, Kfar Shichya, Aryeh, you could totally be telling the truth. Yeah, you just get mixed up with the order of the names. And if he keeps asking you again and again, you know how sometimes somebody keeps asking the same question over and over, sometimes you begin to think to yourself, are you sure it was like this? So you begin even to second guess yourself a little bit. So the problem would be that no one would want to lend money, because if I know already, sometimes it's hard enough to collect debts as it is, but if I know that there's an additional obstacle that maybe even the valid witnesses that I bring are going to get tripped up and will not go ahead and be accepted, I'm not going to go ahead and lend money. Therefore, in order to ensure that people will lend money, we do not subject the witnesses to drisha v'chakira. So the Gemara says, "Ubamai miflegi." So what do they argue about? Mar savar keva nika ksuva lemishkol kadine mamon estami. So what's the machlokis over here? So some say that the edus of an isha, of testimony that a husband died, is like dini mamonis. It's like financial testimony. Why? Because you also remember, if you accept the testimony that her husband died, what else is that? It doesn't only allow her to get remarried. What else does it allow her to do? Collect her ksuva. Therefore, because it's like monetary testimony, therefore, it is not subject to the laws of drisha v'chakira. Umar's So the other opinion says, no, kevan dish kasharinan ishes ishlama. That since the other opinion says no, that since we are permitting a married woman to marry someone else, it's like dinei nefashas, like a capital case. Because it will say, which is capital case, why? Because if you're wrong and she remarries, technically speaking, she has done something that carries with it a death penalty. So we'll say, how do we paskin like this? So the Rambam paskins in botkin edei nashim jishe v'chakira. That's when a witness or witnesses show up to testify that a man has died, we do not subject them to a jishe v'chakira. We do not subject them to a cross-examination. The Shulchan Aruch, however, gives one very interesting caveat, which is, however, if the judges think that something is fishy, there is judicial discretion. So the judge doesn't have to, the dayan doesn't just have to accept, the business doesn't have to accept testimony just like that. The idea is, if it looks right, if it looks kosher, if they look like upstanding individuals, we know who they are, then enachinami, we can accept without judicial v'chakira. But if we are concerned a little bit that perhaps l'maisa is something fishy, then we can go ahead and subject them to judicial v'chakira. We'll say, let's just finish. Even though we're not really finishing, we'll save the finishing. But just, if we were to finish, I would read the next line, and it would go like this. So the Gemara says, Amar, I just feel awkward. Not reading this last line. I feel like the last line in Masechta sometimes get a little bit of like the short end of the stick because you put your koach into everything, and then the last one you're reading, you know, like while you're eating brisket or something. So I'm Rabbi Lazar, I'm Rabbi Chanina. So I'll say the Masechta ends off in a very beautiful way. Rabbi Lazar said to Rabbi Chanina, "Tamidi chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam." Torah scholars create incredible peace in this world. Shene emar v'chol banayich limudei Hashem. All of your sons should become students of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Verav Shalom Banayich. And ultimately, again, your sons should increase and should enhance the level of peace in this world. And I will say, the Maharsha says that why is it that the Masechta ends with this particular statement? Because since we've been occupying ourselves for the last couple of weeks already now with this whole discussion about Aguna, Mishum Iguna Kila Barabanon, you see over here the lengths to which the Rabbanon went in order to ensure that there would be shalom in this world. They wanted to avoid these aguna crises at all costs. Some aguna situations you can't avoid, but at least the ones that we can't avoid, again, you see that Chazal wanted to do whatever was in their power. So the Masechta ends up by saying, just so you understand what the motivation of all of these takanas we've been learning about is, it's to create a sense of shalom in this world. I will say, we'll leave the official hadron for Emirat Hashem Nesium, but I will say, we should just... Hayash HaKoach to everyone. This was not an easy Masechta. And Hayash HaKoach to all of you who really made the commitment to get through it, to plow through it, to work hard. Not every single daf was personally meaningful to everyone. Not every single daf contained subjects that we were able to wrap our heads around. Not every daf, right? There were some mornings we asked ourselves, what am I doing here, right? For this, I woke up at 5:15 in the morning, but you did it. And the truth is, learning a Masechta like this is the true test of one's spiritual mettle. Because learning Masechas Brachas, where you get an easy gishmak from it, because again, you have a takeaway every single day, okay. But learning Masechas Yevamos, where the only reason I'm showing up in the morning is because I'm an Eved Hashem. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is your Torah, and I have to learn it because I love you and I want to be close to you. So this is what creates a real Jew. This is what creates true avodas Hashem. This is what creates incredible, incredible devekis. So yashar koach to all of you, and we should be zochem yirtzeh Hashem to learn so many more dabim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful Torah together. We should hope that Amir Hashem, in the merit of being Messiah Meseches Yevamos, that first of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless our marriages with additional shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless our homes with additional siyata d'shmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help to resolve all of the plight of the agunas who do exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should usher in shalom into the world. And halavai, Amir Hashem, that by the time we get to the end of Meseches Ksuvis, halavai Amir Hashem, the Melech HaMashiach should be here. Ula should come, and we should be zochet to continue to learn together for many years to come in Yerushalayim HaBenuya B'Karov. It's just a scheduling issue. So tomorrow morning we begin Ksuvas, and remember we begin Mesilas Yishar Memirat Hashem at 5:45 tomorrow. So new sefer, new muster sefer, new Masechta. Be here at 5:40 to get a good seat, just to ensure, right? And get coffee. We'll probably make a bigger pot for tomorrow. I would assume double up. Hold on now. Tomorrow now. Space. Are you ready?